men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Let's lift up our right hand and say, Father, your word profits me. I have a heart to learn. I am receptive. As a disciple, I learn. My heart is open to teachings. Your word benefits me. Your word profits me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12. We're going to start reading from verse 15. Done. Luke chapter 12. Luke is after Genesis, not too far from Revelation, somewhere in between. Glory to God. Are you ready? From verse 12, let's read in concert. 1, 2, everybody. Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. 16. Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I will have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. Verse 19, loudly. And I will sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Verse 21. You, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Let's take it again. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start reading from verse 24. He said, want to read? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. 25. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? 26. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store foods in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Verse 28. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Verse 30. And if God cares so wonderfully for white flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Verse 31. So, don't worry about these things, saying, what will I eat? What will I drink? what will I wear? For these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Verse 33, loudly, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Let's take it together. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Verse 34. So, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. May you bless the reading of your word in our heart. We understand that your word is life. Your word is light. The entrance of your word brings understanding to the simple-hearted. And so, Lord, I bow in reverence, in adoration, and in honor to your word this day. I'm asking that the entrance of your word will be the communication of your mind and your thoughts to your people. I ask that the communication of your word will transform their hearts. It will renew their mind and it will make their living prosperous. I'm asking that the anointing that makes the preaching of your word to be well understood will rest upon me. And I pray that upon every heart, that the spirit of grace that causes them to apply your word will rest upon their heart. I rebuke every veil of misunderstanding. I remove every veil of religion that wants to resist the entrance of your word. I pray that your word is penetrative. Let scales literally fall off their eyes. Let every wound be healed. Let every brokenhearted be mended. Let every hopeless begin to have hope. Let the feeble-minded be made strengthened. I give you glory, O God, because I know your word will be profiting. And at the end of this discussion, every saint will be edified and Jesus will be glorified. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Renewing the mind from the fear and consciousness of lack, part 4, I think. Renewing the mind from the fear and consciousness of lack. Scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd. Please bring up Psalm 23 verse 1 Amplified. This series has been aimed at helping you to appreciate the need for changing how you think about life and the things that comes with living. You must understand that the desire of God is for you to live well. Your well-being is God's concern. David, the psalmist, spoke, the Lord is my shepherd. The function of a shepherd is to feed, to guide, and to shield. You must understand that the most basic thing that God gives his people is what to eat. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not lack. Now, this statement is a statement of consciousness. It's a statement of consciousness. In other words, I know that the fallen man is to live in lack, but the Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I'm not going to lack. Glory to God. I think Isaiah was speaking. Is it Isaiah? Yes. He said, even the young lion can go without food. He said, but they that trust in God, he will take care of them. David spoke again. He said, he will keep in perfect peace those whose hearts are what? Are stayed on him. You must understand that the least thing God can do for you is make food available. So Jesus was speaking. He started by saying, you shouldn't serve God and money. Now let's take a brief into why people need money. In one of his teachings, Mice Moreau said, people need money because of basically three things. That everybody wants money because money gives you power. Power. Number two, money gives you control. Money gives you power. In other words, if you check, most times the most powerful people are the richest. For example, in some families, you know, if you don't have money, your say does not count. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes people are finished talking and then they are waiting for the person in the family to talk. Now that one might make sense. So somehow there is a desire for us to make money so that we can be in control. Control also. Power, influence, authority. We need money so that we could control. We want to control our life. For example, you are supposed to go to school and there is no money. You're thinking, you know what? Sometimes when there is no money, there is this unnecessary pause. You understand what I'm saying? You want to do some things, you can't do them. You can't control your what to eat. It's only gari, for example. You are just eating. You don't have choice. And that's the tough thing. Money gives you choices. Money empowers you to be able to make decisions. Choices. And I told you last time that all of these, God knows you need them. God knows you want to be a voice. God knows you want to be in control. God knows you want to make decisions. So by instinct and by association, God is a benevolent king. So David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now please take note of that word. It didn't say my God is my shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. Now it means, you need to understand what the word Lord means. Lord means owner. So write that down. So what was David trying to say? Say, God owns me. And so that's the starting point. We started kingdom concept in KCC today. As we go on in that concept, I'm going to teach you the kingdom concept of lordship. The reason why a number of Christians don't trust God for their welfare is because they only know Jesus as Savior. They don't know Him as Lord. So as Savior, He saves you from all of the consequences of your sin. But as Lord, He takes care of you. So that's why for you to come into the prosperity of God, you must first of all understand Him as who? As Lord. Now this is the reason. He who owns takes care of. It's a principle. He who owns cares for. Many of you have read dogs before. Or you know people that rear dog. You see what they give to them, especially these foreign breeds. Go and be packing chicken bones and be giving to them. Dog. A minister friend was telling me how much it cost him to keep to their cattle here. Dog. So when you see the dog coming, now food it all chop. And those kind of dogs, they are not the one you are seeing on the streets. You don't see them on the streets. All those ones you just see, you're like, come on. Dog, they're very powerful. You don't see all those ones, you just do their way. They are hungry, no food. We saw some the other day dragging grass with goats. Things don't tough. Oh. They follow goats, they drag grass. But you see those, if you see that, you want to even hug them. Well taken care of. Why? They have a owner. They're always in the cage. They are leashed. They just put them there. Feed them. Or buy chicken. Food where you never chop. Neither they chop. To rear dog now, you must be a very rich man. It's more expensive to rear God that dog than to train dominion. It's true. That's the truth. Go and read about it. Not be all those who went in your street. That's why they come back. Some of them, it's only 9th. He was telling me, he was briefly telling me about how I just was listening to the lecture. He said there was a woman that I think in one of the countries, I don't know if it's even Nigeria or somewhere, the woman has this dog that he always unleashed when she's not around. That the dog ate the boyfriend. Yes, they are, if I were you, those dogs, hi, they're very sensitive. They have a way of knowing that you are not good. Yeah, they would. You see some dog, they just see some people and make a rawr. They know that they can't design. They know this one man in mind bad. Man, the guy offended the lady and then he didn't know the lady. He thought the lady was at home. So and he had the spare key to the house. So as he opened the gate, he didn't know that the dog was unleashed. Finished him. By the time they came, they don't finish. The dog was. They are well taken care of. And it makes all their organs to function very well. He said there are some they use for, what do you call it? Police they use. That they, if they hold you, they can't release you. You are gone. So there are some that they use for chasing. There are some they will just clamp you down. They will not eat you. They will clamp you down for the police to come and take you. Now, the owner, the people that buys them, takes care of them. Sometimes God uses parables to teach us. He said, look at the birds in the air. Now, when you look at the principle of value, a lord acquired things that it takes very seriously. The reason why the enemy is telling you that God cannot feed you is because first, he has made you know that you are worthless before God. He has made you know that you are a sinner. That's what religion promotes. That's the reason why some of us, we want to ask God for school fee. We have confessed all the sins of our forefathers, fourth, fifth fathers, seventh fathers, and even the current father, and the one that he will commit tomorrow. Just because you want to ask God for school fee. And these are some of the things that came as a result of man's fall. Because the consequences of the fall made man to begin to see God as though he has favorites. That's why I told you the last time. So all of these fears are as a result of the fall. And these fears created a number of things. And that was where I stopped. If you don't embrace the lordship of God, you'll be scared. Look at what Jesus said. Let's read Luke 12, verse 32. Value. I have value before God. Do not be seized with alarm or struck with fear, little flocks. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the what? The kingdom. It delights God. Another translation says, it gives the Father. You know, I told you that when it relates to your welfare, God is not just God. God is what? Is Father. It is the fatherhood of God that makes him to take care of you. God does not love you because you are perfect. God loves you because he is love and he created you to be the object of his love. And then, is there a loving father that does not give gifts? Is there a loving father that does not give gifts? He said, every good and perfect gift comes from God. So I pray for you. You are delivered from the consciousness of lack. David said, he will feed me. He will guide me. He will shield me. It is the fatherhood of God that makes him to provide your daily bread. It is God that provides your daily bread. The day this understanding will get into you, the consciousness and fear of lack will begin to lose its grips off you. Last time I told you that the fear made man to become work-driven. Please, if you were not in that service, I would like you to get that teaching. I talked about work. Our man became work-centered in a bid to take care of his lack consciousness. So in other words, when mankind became lack conscious, one, he became work driven. So we saw the effect in Genesis 3. He said, you will toil for what to eat. In other words, more work, more food. That's not the original design. That is the consequential design. Is that okay? That was not the original design. That was the consequential design. That was what came as a result of the fall. So in Luke 5, we now saw a sharp contrast. Peter had toiled all night, but he sought the kingdom. He accepted the kingdom because Jesus is the embodiment of the kingdom. So when Jesus came and said, I'm going to use your boat, he said, no problem. He said, move it a little bit into the shore. He did. And then he finished using the boat. And then he looked at Peter. He said, now it is time for you to catch. And Peter made a statement that looked like what God told Adam in Genesis 3. Peter said, we have toiled all night and we didn't catch anything. He said, but at thy word. And scripture said, when he did that, he enclosed a great multitude of fish. So please understand this. The hand of God and the word of God can bring about your daily sustenance. The word of God can sustain you. If God did not put your thought in someone's heart, he will not release his one naira to you. He won't. The Bible speaking about Elijah, scripture said, when there was famine in the land, ravens were feeding him. And God appeared to Elijah and said, see, the brook is going to get dry. Now leave. If you stay here, you're going to die of hunger. And scripture said, the woman, Elijah went to the woman. He said, give me. The woman said, see, what I am having now is just for me and my child to eat and die. Elijah said, don't worry, bring it. And then scripture said, they were sustained all through the famine. Now, what was God trying to say? You know, God speaks in parable most times. He's trying to say, man shall not live by bread alone. Let my word be your anchor. So he said, I will bless the work of your hands. So what is he saying? Don't see the work as the source. See the work as the means. Focus your eye on the source. Because like Peter was an experienced fisherman. So he had toyed. No fish. How do you explain it? No, let's be practical. Let's look at it together. He has tried as an experienced fisherman. No fish. But Jesus now came and said, we are doing it. And he caught fish. It means the word of God is a source of our daily provision. The word of God is an instrument for our consistent prosperity. So in God's kingdom, if you despise his word, you will not be able to get the prosperity that he promised. He said, look at what he said. He says, say ye to the righteous. Say ye to the righteous. It shall be well with him. For he shall eat of the good of the righteous. He says, say it. I speak God's word over your life. Whatever has been added in these past few weeks, by the word of God, it becomes easy in the name of Jesus. The word of God is the pathway to ease. Don't depend. Don't put your trust in your work. As a matter of fact, Paul was not telling us that when we walk, we should walk as unto the Lord. Walk as a channel of ministry. I'm supplying my gift to this organization. Sometimes my boss, when I deliver the job, he'll be telling me thank you. I said, it's to God. Doing it unto God. Why? He said, because he will give me an inheritance. Look up. You cannot, take note of this, you cannot transfer the work of your hands to your unborn generation. You can only transfer inheritance to your unborn generation. I'll say that again. You can't transfer the works of your hands to your unborn generation. It is only inheritance. Inheritances are what have perpetuity in continuity. It is only inheritance. So that's why what God gives us are not wages. God does not pay us wages. No. God gives us what? Inheritance. That's what he was telling the rich man. He said, you could see from that verse of scripture three things. Number one, he had a good soil that produced a good crop. Good. Number two, he said, what do I do with them? So he said, I'm going to store them up. There's a problem with that. And then the next thing he said, I will eat and be merry. And God said, no, in my kingdom, you don't do that. Prosperity is not for storing. Prosperity is for distribution. You must understand that the problem with work consciousness is that it promotes self-centeredness. Because what do you tell yourself? The labor of my hands have what? Has produced this. Number two, he became greedy. And that's the second effect of consciousness of lack. Now, lack becomes a consciousness. That is to say, there is this ticking in your head. It will not be enough. It will not be enough. There's not enough to go around. There's not enough to go around. Are you getting it? It's a system. Renew your mind for it, from it. Don't live in that realm. It's not enough to go around. It's not enough to go around. So that consciousness of it's not going to be enough. It will carry me all through the month. It will carry me all through this period. It's not going to be enough. Now that ticking in your head, if it keeps ticking that way without God regulating your heart, without your mind being renewed, it produces what? Greed. Now what is greed? The word greed means intense desire to have more. That's not where it stops. For selfish reasons. Greed is not a desire for more. Greed is a desire for personal more. So that's why that fool, that rich fool, was a greedy person. Now, this is how greed came about. It came about because man became estranged from Eden. In Eden, there was enough. Look up. In Eden, man was not thinking of storage. Man was thinking of maintenance. Because God, by design, was already causing the soil to bring forth. But the moment man left Eden, he was thrown into famine. You and I know that the hardest time to give is when what you have is not much. Now, in the world, the hardest time to give is when you don't have. But in kingdom, the best time to give is when you don't have. Now, I was listening to something, and the man of God was trying to explain several scenarios in scriptures. That if you check some patterns, majority of the time, God goes to people that don't have and still collects the little that they have. For example, why will God send Elijah to a woman that just have only one plate of food? I'm sure in that community there could have been many people. But like I told you, God speaks in parables. And it is important that as Christians, we understand how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, they are not the same. Let's not live like the people of this world. Faith in God begins when you can let go and let God. These things in scriptures, they are not stories. They are real. I mean, why would Jesus, who have the water of life, the river of life, now go to a Samaritan and say, "Give me to drink"? I mean, one would have thought that Jesus would have told him, he says, "See," the first Jesus would have told him, he says, "See, I better leave all this world, Joe. But you are wasting your time. I'll give you water." No, that's not what he did. The first thing he did was, "Woman, give me to what? To drink." So it is the wisdom of God to test our faith in him by how we behave when we don't have enough. I mean, while we God go to Abraham and say, "Abraham, offer me Isaac." He didn't say, "Abraham, offer me Ishmael." Ishmael was a substitute. I mean, he could have asked for the substitute. Please, believers, I wanted to know that majority of the time, God does not ask for substitute. God asks for the main. Everybody say the main. He was very direct. Media, please, can you put it up to us? Genesis. Which of the Genesis 18 or 15, somewhere in Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "Offer me." There were three things that God told Abraham, specific. Number one, he told Abraham to release what he was emotionally attached to. Number two, he told Abraham to release what was the only. And then number three, he told Abraham to kill what he had said was going to be the instrument for Abraham's multiplication. Do you understand what we're talking about here? The first thing he did, I mean, he asked Abraham for what Abraham was emotionally attached to. Now look up. One of the ways you prove to God that you have conquered greed is dealing with your emotions when it comes to things. Don't be emotionally attached to things. It will create greed. I'm teaching you how to, you can deal with the consciousness of lack. Don't be emotionally attached to things. Let me explain what I mean. Whatever it is that it took you sweat to acquire, don't consciously put your heart on it. Because if God notices it, that is the next thing he will ask for. Because in your relationship with God, he doesn't want anything to occupy his place. Whatever it is that you love so much that you can't give to God will prevent you from receiving what God loves so much that he wants to give to you. Write it down. Oh, Jesus. I'll say that again. Whatever it is that you love so much that you don't want to give to God, you don't want to surrender to God, will prevent you from receiving from him that thing he loves so much to give to you. Look at Abraham. He already said, you will be a father to nations. It was clear. And the means by which Abraham's fatherhood will be multiplied was Isaac. And then that was the only thing God could think of telling Abraham to slaughter. But you know the good news? Even though Abraham had not experienced the spiritual life, Abraham's mind was renewed. Abraham had already learned by dealings how not to be greedy. Abraham had already learned. See, you learn not to be greedy. By default, the human race is greedy. Are you following me? Greed is a constant order in humanity. That's why the name of the game is get more, store more, and get more and more. But in the kingdom, that's not the name of the game. The name of the game is there is he that gathereth and then he tendeth to poverty. He said, but there is he that scattereth and it leads to great increase. So that's why Paul was telling us in Romans 12, renew your mind. I beg you to renew your mind. Especially in this time and season that we are. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. It pays to be contented with what you have. This is not just a statement of low life. No. It's a statement of dealings. That thing you love most, God will go after it. He will go after it. Because the truth is this. That is where jealousy and possessiveness come from. Majority of the time, when you love something too much, you don't want to release it. True? Let me tell you three characteristics of emotional love. Not agape love, not emotional love. Number one, when you love something too much, you don't want to lose it. Number two, when you love something too much, you don't want someone else to share it. Am I correct? And then number three, when you love something too much, you want to have more of it. Let me give you the easiest way to get this understanding. Think about your boyfriend. It's parable. Say it's clear in your mind now. I'm not thinking what you are thinking, but just think about your girlfriend. So Jeremiah is turning face. Think about it. You won't lose your girlfriend, Abby. I mean, that girl that you are dying for. The butterfly in your tummy. The only sugar in your tea. The only mayonnaise in your bread. Abi Bama. Okay, you want to share him, Abi? With your classmates? With your neighbor? See, all of now they do as if I never get boyfriend or girlfriend before. Make I use wife. Am I correct? You don't want to lose it. Number two, you don't want to share it. And number three, you want to have more of it. Now, that is the emotional system that man inhabited as a result of the fall. So God told Abraham, he said, see, I'm beginning to notice you are becoming emotionally attached to Isaac. And the way you are doing this thing, this thing might not do the way I want to. I am testing. When the scripture started, the scripture said, and God tested Abraham. Give it to us. It was a test. Did you see that? He said, after these things, that God what? Tested Abraham. And he said, here am I. Now see the next verse, verse 2. Let's run through it. He said, then he said, take now. So you see the three levels God took Abraham through. Glory to God. He said, God is very, very, very direct when it comes to the subject of greed. When God begins to deal with the greed in your life, he doesn't use parable. It comes what? Directly. Some people broke the yoke of greed in their life. God just came and said, you see that car you just bought? Go and dash it. You see, if you have not gotten to that place where you can give your only, you have not come to the God realm. Because what God did here was what he did in the court of heaven when he released Jesus according to John 3:16. Because God cannot be telling us to do what he can't do. That's why we are not serving Muhammad. We are serving God, because he leads by what? By example. He said, number one, three levels. Number one, give your son. He didn't stop there. He could have said, give your son. Everyone will go and carry Ishmael and say, God, you said I should give my son. I've given Ishmael. He took it to the next level. He said, your only son. Direct. He didn't stop there. What was the thought he now said? The son you loved. When you can't let go of love, or when you cannot let go for love, you cannot get more in love. That's why sometimes you get to a place in God, you can't, there's nothing you can't give out. When you get to that stage in life, let me tell you what will happen. There is nothing God can't give you. I mean, Abraham was long dead, yet God was blessing Isaac, blessing Jacob, blessing Joseph because of Abraham. Generational wealth is inherited by a father that has devoid himself of greed. If you want your family to enjoy the divine provisions, keep greed in your life. Don't raise greedy kids. Don't raise greedy kids. One of the first things we started doing to the kids when they were coming up is to share. Sometimes you give dominion, you go and share it with your younger ones. I mean, there was a day I sat down, I had a cup of juice. So I poured it into the cup and I told them to start taking it one by one. So I gave it to Dominion. Now, do you know, Dominion just sipped a little. There was still plenty of juice. Gave them, they are finished drinking. He said, it's okay. They didn't finish it though. Why? He just wanted everybody to what? To drink. And by the time they didn't finish, it was still remaining. And I told him, I said, okay, this one is your own. He said, but daddy, I've drank now. I said, no, I'm telling you now, drink this one. See, there is a system you create in your life that regulates this hunger, desire for more, more, more. You don't need to eat three plates of food before you'll be satisfied. That's the truth. Greed is bad. I mean, there are some people, the way they have been trained, they cannot serve all the food in the pot. Even when you tell them that the food in the pot is your own, there is this training they have received. The child must remain small. For the gather the fragment ministers. Scraping pot generation. That's how God wants us to live. So sometimes you have, I don't know how people live without sharing. It's boring when you don't share. It's boring. Growing up at home, one of the things God used my parents to teach us was how to share. Now one place with the chapel, as we plenty rich, don't let me tell you I'm anywhere. We put it down and everybody will eat. You see, I grew up among friends. I mean, they could share anything. We finish from school that time. There's a place we used to park. We'll go there. We'll bring sometimes one cup of garri. Five of us will eat it. And we can stay for 3, 4, 5 hours as if we ate a big pot of food. And Lord taught me some years later. He said that space, it was 2 spoons you took, but it looked like you ate so much. He said it is love that filled it. Because the truth is this. See, humans can't be satisfied. Satisfaction is what I call relative. Then, I know the difference between being a rich man kid and a poor man kid. If you see a poor man eating, and you see a rich man, poor man kid eating, and a rich man kid eating, you will know that the difference is attitude. Then we'll go to, you know, we're rich and we're not poor. We're somewhere in between, yeah. So we'll go to some of our rich, rich, like physical rich. We are rich in the spirit, amen. And then they will just serve you one slice of bread, two. And then just put egg. And then Junior will eat it and will be laughing and be jumping. And then I now come. See, my if there's ever bring. This one not go anywhere. Now, let me tell you what is happening in the mind. That go anywhere means say, after this one, I don't know when the next one will come. But the rich man kid already knows that around 11, they will bring those sweet, sweet, sweet biscuits, shrink, shrink. That's why their mouth smells a lot. Praise God. You know, when we're small, you can't be eating shrink, your mouth not smell. Yeah. Now, what filled their stomach is the fact they know that if they say, Mommy, I'm hungry, food will come. But for the poor man, even your mommy will be telling you, he said, this one, just chop him and drink water. So that's why one of the evidences of poverty is greed. Greed tends to poverty. Because see, poverty is a mindset. It's a mindset. It's how you think when it comes to money and things that concerns money. That's what makes you poor. You don't go poor people party before. The first party I attended in this offer. That's why I knew that poverty is real. See, I respect the white people. But you see, we see strange things here. Went to the party, they were sharing food. They were sharing food. But now back you day. They were sharing food. So from the way we were brought up, it will get to our turn. Maybe they are sharing it. But you needed to see one man. I'm sure possibly his village people has told him this food will not get to him. So the man got up from where he was. And the lady was like, Baba, Joko, ma. If you saw the way the man got angry. Now that experience is the black consciousness that living Eden left in us. Then now check the opposite, rich people. You don't go rich people party before. You just see, in fact, I told you we were rich, we're on both sides. You know, you are not the high table, you are back. They're not the chopper, they just take what they just. May God renew our mind, though. For we are there, call me now. And then they will just, you know, rich, if you invite rich people come your party, they go spray money, finish, and no, you go, they beg them. Carry food. Don't worry. May we be rich in our mind, though. And then you will not see those ones that are not rich in mind, poor. They will collect one. They always go with big bag. You put another one. There was a day I went to a party. I mean, we were seated, you know, we are reached by organization now. So where we were, they've not even served us. So I was looking at a woman. She don't chop the first one, chop the second one. The guy was caught. She puts inside. I was and I remember that song. You know, Rebbe has a song for everything. It's greed. Because a renewed mind, in fact, the reason why food is not enough in some functions is because of greed. Some people intercept the food. I mean, we there was a marriage we went for. At that day, I don't say you man's greedy. They were caterers, paid to share food. I mean, people did not eat. Yet people were having coolers to take home. Yes. People were carrying. I mean, people, the food did not go around. Look up. The reason why it looks like life, people are getting poorer and poorer, is because people that are to distribute, they are storing it. The poverty of mankind, most times, is created by mankind. Remember when COVID came? You saw the pictures. Palliatives, they were rottening. Bags of rice infected with moths. Simply because somebody felt it was wrong to share. How many beds can you sleep on? How many shoes can you wear per time? In our practical day-to-day life, God wants us to reflect the fact that we have overcome the consciousness of lack. A renewed mind. This is how God expects us to live. That thing we should have more, you see it as less in people's life and respond to it. That is the desire of God for your life. So let me tell you this. If God is giving you more money, it means that you should look for more people that don't have. If God is blessing you with more shirts, you check. People are always giving you blazers, always giving you suits. You know what God is telling you? Give people suits. Whatever it is that you don't struggle to get in this life, it is God telling you, give it out. Leave service. Think about it. What is that one thing you don't struggle to get in life? What is that one thing you don't struggle to get in life? An evidence that you have overcome greed is the easiest thing to give. Material and non-material. In my life, I have never struggled for shelter. There was a time I got angry. I said, must I be always be staying with people? I must stay on my own. I paid somebody money. Money ran away with my money. I said, I don't tire. He's squatting a course. The money came home. The guy said he was going to vacate the room after exam. I went to the room, nice, right? I was close to school. I gave him half of the money. By the time we went to holiday and came back, I saw another person in the room. The number the guy gave me was wrong. It was no longer going. I went back to continue my squatting. And in that, I began to understand how God works. God speaks most times in parables. Check your life. What is that thing that it comes so easy? Give it so easy. Give it. Even the one that came hard, you can still sacrifice it. But you want to start your walk over greed. Start that. Go to your wardrobe. I mean, some people, they don't lack airtime. Always having credit in their phone. Start giving. Go and learn, share and share. MTN. Star 312. No, Star 320. I know I'm. Share. The truth is this. The moment you become emotionally tied to things in life, Satan will take advantage of it and block your prosperity in that area. Don't be emotionally tied to anything. I was sharing with someone the first time I gave the car out for somebody to travel. Then the car was just coming and, you know, spend money and buy car. And then someone just called me and like, I want to travel with your car. Itovo. New car. The first thought that came, I said, what if you have accident? You see, one of the consciousness of lack makes us think, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if not? What if is a test? The truth is this, whatever you don't so struggle to keep, check, it always have a way of keep coming back. Look up, there are some people in this life, they can't stay broke for 2 days. Somehow. There are some people in this life, they can't stay hungry. Food will shall come. My dad told us something while we're growing up. He said, if there is anything you must never use to suffer anybody's food. My dad will never use food to punish us. In fact, my dad will finish beating you, and after beating you, he will serve you food. You'll be worried. It was as I started growing up, I started understanding these things. We must renew our minds. I mean, your roommate offended you, and the next thing in your mind is that this food that we cook, she will not eat from it. It's a sign that greed is still lurking somewhere. In fact, scripture even told us that if your enemy is hungry, give him food. In fact, if somebody offends you, come out house in the morning. By the time the person is coming in the evening, serve him spag. Hot one with pepper inside. That's how we are to live. You shouldn't use food to oppress people. No. Parents, you don't use food to punish your kids. You don't do that. You don't do that. If there is any word you keep seeing in the Bible, is bread, bread, bread. God keep talking about bread, bread, bread. And that's why, look, if I see someone that is stingy with food, see, not no spirituality you won't preach, give me. You are carnal. Just forget about that. You can't, I know, with food. I remember a skit we watched sometime. The guy put food on that chair. The friend, they come. He just used leg cover. Forget say dog did the compound. As the fellow follow friend talk, dog they chop the food. The food he hide, my friend not shop. As the friend say, he discharge the friend quickly. The friend wonder, he say, okay, I will come with you for us. I'll come with you for us. Discharge the friend. As he look, plate empty. Dog, they won't come now. See, most of the times, those things you hold back, they have a way of getting lost. I'll give you this story and I'll close. I was using a phone one time, and the Spirit of God, like, I should release the phone. Like, this phone, no, the phone I sweat by. In only 2 days, now me sit down for the phone, the screen splash. No, I don't tell you, say, now God, do one more. Not be God, do one. Now me sit down. Not be say, the thief, one more. Now me sit down, I break. You see, most of the times, when God wants to take you to a new level in your life, he tells you to release some things. Let's check Abraham. What happened at the end? So Abraham took Isaac. Give us that verse so that we can pray. Verse, is it 7 or 5? Go down. Go down, go down. After he had offered Isaac. Now, Abraham said, my God will provide for himself the lamb. Go down. I'm talking about where God began to bless Abraham. Now, I told you most times it's parable. It was a test. What God is telling you to give is not the finality of your greatness. That's what God is telling you. If God is telling you to give me your life, it's because the life you have currently is inferior. God does not take something from you and not replace it with something bigger. So when God tested Abraham, he now said, from verse 15, see what God told Abraham. See what happened to Abraham. 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time. The first time was to take Isaac and sacrifice. And then he said, by myself. You see this blessing? Go and read about the Jews. Even till now, they are still one of the best blessed tribes in the world. Even till now. This one is not say Bible. Go and read about the Jewish tribe. He said, by myself, I have sworn. Say, because. Everybody say consequence. Stop saying, I love you, Lord. I love you. And God is telling you, give that young man that shoe. The brand one. The one you bought very expensive. I love you, Lord. I love you. Every time you say you love God, God is expecting a consequence. So he said, because you have done this thing, and it specified it, you have not withheld your son, your only son. What happened? Blessing. I will bless you. Multiplying. Now, this was God reverting the course of Genesis 3. Get it into your mind. It was through a man that the land was cursed. It was also through a man. He said, multiply, I will multiply you. He said, your descendants as the stars. He said, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. He said, and your descendants shall possess the gate of the earth. You know what he's saying? He said that if your descendants have more enemies, as their enemies increases, so shall their gates and possession increases. Look up. There is a covenant you get with God. People will be killing you, yet you will be living. They will be enchanting your name in the realm of the spirit. Yes, the enchantment is blessing. Who can curse the man God has blessed? Nobody. That's why, look up, there are some people in this life, you can't put them down. Forget it. The covenant that eroded their greatness was a covenant born out of sacrifice. So your sheep talk can't put them down. That's why, look up, the more they fought the Israelites, the more the Israelites prevail. Do you know why? Their blessing came on the altar of sacrificial release. I am no longer greedy. Greedy people, they get wages. But selfless people, they get inheritance. So that's why there are some family, because of the covenant that their father have entered, they can't be poor. Even when the land is tough, you just notice them, they are still a blessed tribe. So that was why God told us, Jesus, in Galatians, he said that Christ has redeemed us from the what? The curse of the law. So in your seed, all the nation of the earth shall be blessed. What is the reason? Because you have obeyed my voice. Let's stand up on our feet. Oh, Shadabara. I'm not greedy. What is it you are holding back? I mean, Abraham could have looked at God and said, God, which one be your own? You said I should leave my father's house. I left. You said I should not sleep with Hagar. I have repented. You gave me Isaac. Now you are coming again. And this is the reason. Don't be emotionally attached to anything that God gave you. Whether it be children, business, husband, wife, money, whatever it is that God gives you. This is it. Whatever you live with God, He keeps. Some of us, our parents didn't know Bible like we knew, but our parents loved God and gave us to God. They gave us to God. In fact, growing up, if you want to lie, easy lie that nobody will question, just come and tell daddy you are going to church. And daddy, I've lied. I wanted to go and see one of my friends. So I know the only way my dad will allow me to leave this house. I just say we are having one practice in church. He said, no problem. But by the grace of God, see what our life has become. Nobody has ever gone to arrest my dad that I stole somebody's phone. My dad has so much peace. You know, sometimes I see the love some of our parents have for their kids. They want to control their choices and decisions. I learned from my dad, the easiest way to control your children is to give them to God. God will go ahead of them. My dad was not the perfect dad. Was not always sitting us down. I know. He just gave us to God. Sometimes in the morning, he will read Psalm with us. And then we'll pray and go. And today, see what our life is becoming. What are you holding back? One of the parents called me this week. I was like, my son said he's not coming. Oh, this is that. That the work here is more. He said, no problem. Oh, I know he's with his father. And I know everything will be fine. And I started praying for us. He said, God will prosper the ministry. You see, when you become possessive of what God gives you, you will lose it. And let me tell you two places you will lose it to. One, you will lose it to the wickedness of humanity. And two, you will lose it to the wickedness of Satan and his kingdom. There are some of us, we know that it's the covenant of our Father that is working in our lives. I mean, you just show up and then they are showing you favor. Just favor. Who do I know in school when I got admission? Nobody. And then in a strange land, start getting help. Because someone was ungreedy enough to release. And now he's in your court. Why are you holding it back? There are some of you, the reason you can't serve God is because of your boyfriend. You love him too much. You can't release him. And he's destroying your life. He will serve you breakfast. Especially after ND. Because in his mind, as far as he's concerned, his campus thing we are doing. What is it you are holding? Is it your time? See, you can't give your time to kingdom and your life will be a waste. No way. How God gets to do it, I don't know. But don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. Your business can come into a new level. I know of a businessman in this town. Then when we just came, he used to be one of those that was, we learned a lot through him. Was supporting a lot of what we're doing. And then one day he told me something. He said, this business is covenanted. He said, the proceed from this business is to advance God's kingdom. The church we grew up in, worry. I know of a man. I mean, forget perfection. He's not a perfect man. But you see that man? He's a blessed man. He will come on the altar and then most times he will never hold mic. He's the leader of the church that will come. Every time the church wants to do something, if you come to the altar and say the church needs 500,000, he will just write a paper to the leader. I'm giving 250,000. In fact, there was a day we were in church, the bishop was saying, what was this? The man just came and said, no problem. I will do it. He just went and bought the car. They wanted to buy a car for the man of God. He said, my business is what? Is covenanted. He said, except God did not bless me. And then you are wondering, principles, government will bring in principles. People will bring in accusations. Armed robbers went to his house one day. Hire killers. One of his adversaries sent hired killers. Said, was sharing the testimony in church. Said they came, told the wife, the children to lie on the floor. He was in the room. He heard their voice and came down. He said, the moment he came down like this, the armed robbers knelt down and said, sir, we can't kill you. If we kill you, we'll make more people poor. He said, they left. Sometimes when God is rescuing us, most times it's not because of our perfection. It is because of our commitment to his kingdom. Because there are two directions of evil. Humanity is wicked. So to deliver yourself from the scheme of wickedness, don't hold anything back. Because whatever is in your hand can be snatched from your hand by a human that have another hand. But whatever is in God's hand, it will take a greater than God to snatch it from his hands. The things of this life will never satisfy. Greed is not desire for more. Greed is desire for more to satisfy yourself. And self can't be what? Satisfied. So turn the satisfaction towards God. And say, God, the more you bless me, the more I bless your people. The more you give me, the more I give to others. Even Buddhism, not Christianity. In Buddhism, there's a popular slang in Buddhism. He said, the charity you do is the rent you pay for your stay here on earth. In Buddhism. That's why, check most motivational speakers, most philanthropists, most people that do all these benevolent, they are Buddhists. Some of them are not Christians. You know what they believe? That the more I help people, the more I elongate my life. He said that he that gives to the poor lends to his maker. He said, and he will receive a just recompense. Place your hands on your chest and say, Lord, moving on in life, teach me to release. Not based on how I feel, but based on your word. Renew my heart about things. The first verse we read said, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things he owns. The more of a thing you have, the more of it you release. Can you just pray? Can you pray? Lay your hands on your chest and say, Lord, teach me how not to be greedy. Teach me to be selfless. Teach me to be selfless. Teach me to be selfless. There's nothing wrong in having a job. There is nothing wrong in having a business. There's even nothing wrong in saving. But teach me, Lord, to be selfless. Can you pray that prayer? You can start practicing selflessness from those things you have in excess. There are some clothes on your wardrobe that you need to give out. There are some shoes you need to release. Yes, you may say, I don't have money, but you have a heart. When God calls a man, most times he doesn't give him money, only gives him a heart. And through that heart, he begins to bless that man with more than enough to share and to spread. So lastly, pray. I'll be a distributor. What happened to the early church was that they shared. I will be a distributor. I will be a distributor. I will share. No matter how little, you can still share from it. You see that 500 naira? You can share. You can give someone 100 naira. May not mean anything, but possibly it might just help him to transport. Add the remaining 15 naira with him to school tomorrow. Giving is a powerful thing in God's kingdom. So pray and say, Lord, I give with sensitivity. I give where the needs. I give where there are needs. I know when there are needs. See, there's a level you get to in God and in training. You just know some people have not eaten. And you just know that that food that came in, you can't just eat it. You just have to remember and call that person. I've had someone called. He said, I have something that just came. He said, but I don't think I'm the one that needs it. So and so person needs it more. That's how to live. That's how to live. He will take care of you. He will take care of those fees. He will preserve you. He will take care of you. He will take care of you. Father, thank you. Give you all the glory. So I pray for you that from today your heart is open. Giving becomes like breathing. Contentment becomes a way of life. You are not bothered about tomorrow. You rest in that which God has provided. Jesus' name we pray.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovembassy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovembassychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.